Tonight's title is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, Part 37. Title of tonight's message is The Fruit of the Spirit, Light to a Dark World. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together tonight. Lord, you know us. You know the inner workings of our being, and we're so thankful. Lord, you meet us right where we are, and we're so thankful. Father, we set our love upon you. We set our love upon you. We set our love upon you, for there is no other. Thank you, Lord, that you know our ways, you know our thoughts, and you're teaching us by your Spirit. Thank you for giving us your precious Holy Spirit. Tonight, Father, as we study your ways, thank you for revealing your ways to us, that we can walk in them. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's go with our, it's working, our beginning statement for kindness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk. They are other-centered, developing the fruit of kindness or the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. What we're talking about in these various fruits applies to all of the fruits. And what we'll be talking about tonight, we're focusing on kindness, the fruit, but it applies to all of the fruit. You know, in each of us sitting here, we sing we are trees of righteousness. Well, we're trees full of fruit. We are trees full of fruits. We might not feel like a tree. I might not see any buds on my branches, but they're there. If I'm born again, I have that tree of rightness, that tree of righteousness in me. Praise God. You know, and if I will yield my life to the Holy Spirit, that fruit will come forth.
Amen.
But the fruit is love. The fruits of the Spirit are varieties of that love, like golden delicious, Jonathan, or whatever. There's various types of apples, but they're all apples. Various types of oranges, but they're all oranges. It's the same way with the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the fruit. That's why it's mentioned first in the fruit of the Spirit. All of the other fruits flow from love. That's where it gets its energy at. And if you look at the characteristics in all of the fruit of the Spirit, you will find that every single one of them relies on your ability to walk in love for that fruit to function.
Amen.
Kindness is that way. Like we mentioned, there are different ways of being kind. I can be kind to you simply because I'm trying to get you to do something. I'm manipulating you. Mm-hmm. Or I can be walking in the loving kindness, which is the fruit of the Spirit. I can be loving you no matter what, no matter what's going on. I can be loving you. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm just giving myself to you. That's the fruit of kindness. That's the fruit of the loving kindness of God. So you can look at it and tell. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, light to a dark world. Kindness, as well as all of the fruits of the Spirit, are desperately needed in the dark world of today. You know, there's places that you can't tell the difference between a Christian and the world.
Yeah.
And that's so sad. That is so sad that you can't tell the difference. That's where the people are not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. But in this world today, kindness, or the fruit of the Spirit, all of them, are desperately needed. And I can make that statement and not do anything about it. You know, or I can look at this statement and I can say, hey.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
What's my fruit like?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be carrying and bearing the fruit. They should see something different in me. The lifestyle of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the believer is a light to a dark world. It is a light. It should be visible. It's something, When you talk about love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the world needs those things.
Amen.
They need those fruits. And we're supposed to be walking that way so that they can see them. Every believer should be and is responsible for. Please hear that. Every believer should be and is responsible for bearing the fruit of the Spirit as a lifestyle. Not just occasionally, but it should be our lifestyle. This hurting world must see this fruit in operation in the lives of the believers. We are being held responsible by God Himself for that. That's why He placed His Holy Spirit in us. This is a serious thing. It's not something we can just really choose to do or not to do because we're not comfortable with doing it or for whatever our reasoning is. You know, if God took the time to send His Son was crucified, died, buried, rose again, and then He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell in the believer, I would think the fruit of the Spirit is of great and vital importance to God.
Amen.
Or He wouldn't have done any of that. He's not doing anything else. And we should be very, very, very aware when we're not walking in these fruits. I can tell you, there's not one single conflict, one single issue or problem in relationships you're going to have that the fruit of the Spirit will not be the answer for it.
Amen.
They're there. And we're supposed to walk in them. That's God's way. It's God's way of revealing His love to a hurting world, like we talked last week when we talked about the loving kindness of God. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. And it's not taught. Mm. We'll take one of them and talk about it and never talk about the rest of them in our services. Or we'll concentrate on one and not the others, not realizing that they're all linked. And they all have to function for any of them to function to the ability they're designed to do. But we treat them just like behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm supposed to be kind. Well, duh. You're supposed to be kind. Not realizing it's been planted in you, put in us for the purpose of being who we are. We're not just walking around making a decision to be kind here and there. We are kindness.
Amen.
Because we are love the way God is love. We're born of love. So if we're born of love and we're not loving, what are we? We're abnormal. We're a mutant.
Is that related to when Jesus, I can't remember what book it's in now, but he curses the fig tree because the fig tree isn't...
That's exactly leaves, right.
But isn't bearing any
That's
fruit.
Exactly what it... Those two, and Bart showed me this, not... If you read it, you can see it, like
mm-hmm.
you're saying. Israel and the temple was supposed to be, it was like a palm tree. It was like a fig tree. It represented life. And this fig tree represented life. And where did he go? He went into the temple, mm-hmm. left, prayed all night, come back in to the temple, was expecting fruit on that fig tree. What does he expect in the temple? He expects fruit.
Fruit.
That's what he expected to be in that temple. What was there?
Money changers.
Money changers. There was no fruit there.
No.
So then he comes up after praying all night long. Here's this fig tree. It said it had fruit because it had leaves.
Yes.
The leaves and the fruit come at the same time
right.
on a fig tree. And it wasn't time for figs. The Bible says it was not time for them.
Oh,
but that tree had leaves. So by having leaves, it said, I have fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It said that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our way of hearing it, but the leaves said fruit. When Jesus went over, it says he expected fruit.
He was hungry.
He was hungry. He expected it to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got over there, what did he find? Leaves, but no fruit.
Yeah.
And he just spoke to it. No one will eat fruit of you again. And that's all he said. Mm-hmm. And he walked away. Mm-hmm. What happened? Some of the versions, some of the Gospels say it withered immediately. Others say when they come back the next day, it withered. Either way, it died. Mm-hmm. It died from the roots because it was no longer doing its purpose. Yeah. It was a life giver. Mm-hmm. And that's what the temple is. That's what the temple was. And if you study it, you'll find that God compares the temple as a fig tree. It's even called that at times, Israel and all. It's that way. Mm-hmm. So because there was no fruit, mm-hmm. it died. Mm-hmm. I can tell you something. In a Christian's life, mm-hmm. the longer you walk without fruit, the more withered you become. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that way. Mm-hmm. And you'll wind up slipping away because you're not living your purpose. We are supposed to be loving creatures, no matter what. No matter what. That's our job. And if we spend time in the Word, we'll find out how to do that. And it's in there. And God meant tremendous volumes of information there in the Bible on how to walk right with God. That's what we're talking about, walking in the ways of the Lord. If we're not walking His ways, we're not right. We're abnormal. Mm-hmm. And we've become one of those vines or those branches in John 15 that's cut off and thrown into the fire. That's a real hot foot. I don't want to go there. You know? Because we wither and die because we're not attached. Mm-hmm. But in order to walk with life mm-hmm. in this hurting world and in our own lives, we're going to have to walk in the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's why we're teaching this, so we know how. And the Holy Spirit will teach us. That's what He's in us for. Mm-hmm. But we spend so little time in the Bible and prayer and in places like this, Bible studies, that we don't know Him, and therefore we don't know His voice. And He's always speaking to us, but we'll flip over in our carnal nature because we think it's normal, and it's not. It's abnormal. The normal Christian walks in love, and he'll correct himself with that love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, light to a dark world. And that's what we are. That's what we're talking about. That's what that fruit is. It can be seen in the life of a believer as they walk through this world. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are all, so if you're born again, you're included in the all, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So what are we walking in darkness for? Anything that separates you from your relationship with God is wrong. Now, there's good things that can pull your time away, but you bring them under and yield them to the Lord and keep the relationship with Him first, and everything else second, third, and down the row. They're not necessarily wrong, but the moment they become priority to you and not your relationship, they're wrong, no matter how good they are. They move from light, because they're in proper order, mm-hmm. to darkness, because they're out of order. Mm-hmm. And I made that choice. The thing may be fine. It may not be a thing wrong with it. But if it's priority over your relationship, mm-hmm. then it's wrong. No matter what it is, or how much importance I place on it. The relationship with the Father is first. When you bring this over into proper place that you're doing, He prospers that. He'll teach you doing it. He'll help you walk through it. He'll give you wisdom you didn't have before.
Amen.
He'll bring favor to you as you walk through there because it's not in right order. And you'll find prosperity there that you couldn't get on your own the other way. And all the time, you put the very thing that's going to push you over down on the list. But if you do it God's way, He's not your co-pilot. He's your pilot.
Right.
You know, God's my co-pilot. He's not mine. He's my pilot. Mm-hmm. He can fly this thing a lot better than I can. And he knows where he's going. So it's important that we put right things in the right place and do it his way. And bring this others over, yielding to him and allowing him to flow into that. He'll teach us things that we would have never got on our own. And that's so awesome to me. So the next one's Matthew 5. Now, again, this Matthew is pre-cross. But he's still speaking to the church, and it applies to us even more so now, post-cross. You are the light of the world. Not a light. The light. Well, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. He is and was. But he's leaving here shortly. You know, we are going to be the light of the world. We are light through him. You are the light of the world. A city. A city is more than one person, isn't it? It's a city, it's a group of people. Or you, the church, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. What's it telling us there about that? We, the body of Christ, the church, should be very visible to the hurting world. We shouldn't be hiding behind our little walls. They should know we are Christians by our love. A little song. But that's also what John 17 says. We talked about that last week. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket? Is your light, the light in your life? He's talking about a city or a group. The next statement here, he's talking about an individual. Mm-hmm. Nor do they light a lamp, singular, and put it under a basket, singular. What happens when you light a lamp? In those days, that's fire. And the basket's going to burn up for one thing. But what he's talking about is not the basket burning up. He's talking about it being hidden. Nobody knowing who you are. In your life, where you go and what you do in your daily life, does anybody know you're a Christian? They should. And you don't have to do that arrogantly. All you have to do is love. Because it automatically makes you different. And you're going to stand out. Somewhere along the line, they'll say, you know, you have something I don't have. You're walking through that in peace. How in the world are you doing that? I'm doing it because of the love that's in me. The Holy Spirit is my comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. That is his ministries. That's what he's in us for. All of those ministries live in us. And that's why I can walk in a dark world and be a light. Now, they should see us when we have a grief of losing someone, they die or something. Or just a major, you lose your job, or just things happen to you in daily life like it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
They should see us walking through that differently. You don't have to brag on it. Just walk right with God as you walk through it. Let him be who he is, who he so desperately wants to be in us. But he's not going to interfere. He'll let us do it ourselves if we want to. And that's so precious to me, that he can be my comforter in my times of hurt, whatever it may be. So, and then verse 16, let. Now, let is what? It's a commandment. Mm-hmm. It's not a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, your Father in heaven. Your life should be such a way that when they see the difference in you, they don't point to you. They want to know how you got there and say, my loving Father. You point to the Father. You point to his goodness. You point to his loving kindness. And that's why how I'm walking through this. I'm not walking through in my own strength.
Right. You remember he said, preach, and when necessary, use words.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
When necessary.
When necessary, use words.
Yeah. Yeah. When necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. Our life should be a message, a sermon.
A message.
And we're going to fall short. Mm-hmm. But when they see you fall short, what are they going to see? You getting back up again.
Amen.
And that's a big testimony, because you don't have to walk perfect before them. Mm-hmm. They see you vulnerable like everybody else, but they see you're doing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing up when nobody else is. You're repenting. You're changing your ways as quickly as you find out. You forgive. You apologize. You love anyways. No matter what other people think. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is good stuff. I do say so myself. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness. All of us were darkness. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Mm-hmm. A church. These are Christians.
Right.
For you were once darkness, but now. I love but now. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What's that telling me there? Why did he have to say walk as children of the light when he already said I am light in the Lord? Because a lot of people are light because they're born again, but they're not walking it. We're supposed to be walking in our daily life as children of light. Walking out who we are. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, which we're talking about, or the ways of the Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So how are you going to find out what's acceptable to the Lord? We better find out. We're going to have to find out through the fruit of the Spirit. Line it up with the fruit of the Spirit. Line it up with the love walk, and you'll be right. Filter it through that. If it doesn't line up with love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, and all the fruit of the Spirit, and patience, be careful with it. Because it's probably not right. If it doesn't line up with love, kindness, and mercy, and grace, and the goodness of God, the ways of the Lord, if it doesn't line up with that, do whatever you can to avoid it. If you have to go through it, or with it, go through it with those fruits functioning and very visible. Don't back off on who you are in Christ for anyone. I don't care who they are. You don't stop or back off on who you are in Christ. Never be embarrassed about being a child of God. That person that you're trying to fit in with needs you. They don't know it yet, but they need your testimony. They need to see you walk right. Even if they make fun, even if it makes you a loner, do it anyways. You're making a bigger impact than you'll ever know on your own self. Mm-hmm. You are impacting people, and you may never know the impact that you had on that person's life. Down the road, they get saved. When you get to heaven, they'll say, Mike or Joe or Nate or anyone, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you walked right with the Lord. I saw what you did and how you walked. And it impacted me. It took me years, but it impacted me. And I'm here now because of your statement of faith and trust in God. It will change lives that you'll never know about. And God will bless you and lift you up and grant you favor. And it'll come from out of nowhere, and you'll wonder where it's coming from. But that's where it's coming from, because you're walking right with Him. God is so good to us. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So we can find out a lot about what's acceptable to God by just looking at the fruit of the Spirit and walking that way. Philippians 2, and we're going to start in 2b. This is what we're all supposed to be doing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be afraid not to do it. I'm supposed to be walking right with God. I should, as far as fear, I allow fear to function, I should be afraid of separating from God or not keeping that relationship right with Him. Not afraid of God, but fearing the fact that I'm not right with Him, that I keep my relationship right. Work out your own salvation. I can't work your salvation out. I got enough to handle for my own salvation. I would love to help her with hers, and I can help her. But I can't make the decisions for her. They have to be real to her. She has to make them. I can do this and minister all of this and still fail at the end. Because nobody can work it out for me. I have to do that. And the stronger I become with my faith, the stronger those around me are also. Because, like I say, they see it. They may not walk in it, may not want to, but it's visible. And, you know, the scripture after scripture after scripture about the person that walks right with God, it affecting his children and his children's children. There's a children's children over there.
Yeah.
And how, when I walk right with God, whether he knows it or not, it affects him.
No.
He's already affecting his grandchildren, and he's not married yet or have any kids. Mm-hmm. But his walk with God is affecting generations to come. That is so awesome to me. I don't worry about our children. Neither one of us do. Many years ago, we took some scriptures. Great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord. And others throughout scripture. One of them is, his righteousness is unto his children's children. Or in other words, my right standing with God affects my children's children. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about our children and our relationships with others. That we can take as a promise, as absolute truth. We treat it as absolute truth. And the words of my mouth shall not depart out of the mouth of your seed, nor your seed's seed, nor your from
henceforth and forever.
Henceforth and forever. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 60, I believe it is.
59.
No.
59.
Isaiah 59. Yeah, I think we'll go on in 60 with something else I use. I connect the two. Mm-hmm. The very last end, the part of 59. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that we can grab a hold of and walk in. Remember, God's a covenant God. He's treating this as covenant. And I have a part to play in that covenant. If I do what my part is, that authorizes him to do his.
Amen.
If I don't do my part, it authorizes the world and the enemy. So it's up to me. How far do I want to go? How far do I want to go with God? The benefits are endless. You can't calculate the benefits. No. And there's no limit with God. No matter who you are, your education doesn't limit you. It doesn't.
He asked me that one time when we had... You had taken Nick in 1993 and went to the Believers' Convention.
Yeah.
Okay. You wanted to take all of us in 94, the next year.
What a challenge.
And I hadn't made up my mind if I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we were going to church down in Doolittle there, and the Lord just came and asked me point blank. He said, how far do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And the choice was mine.
Yeah.
But what do you tell God when he asks you a question like that, you know?
Well, legitimate.
So I told him, I said, as far is. And he said, okay.
You're my limit. That's why when Jesus said, who do you say I am? Lord, show me that question is asked in every single decision we make.
What do you say?
When I make a decision, I'm answering that question. Where that thing is concerned. Who do you say that I am? It's the same thing as how far do you want to go? Work out your own salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12b, starting there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I love that. Realizing that it's God in me working. He's working it out in me so that I can will to do and do his good pleasure. 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. My goodness.
Or grumbling.
Yeah. Verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, if I do these things, then there's something that happens in me. And when it happens in me, fruit is produced for others. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles or the rest of the world walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart has been blinded. There is a veil over it that Satan put there, that part of this world. And they can't see. You know, one minister said, don't get mad when those that don't know Jesus as their Lord don't want to go to church. Don't get mad about that. That's normal. They don't know him. But if you're a born-again child of God, it's abnormal for you not to go.
Abnormal.
It's normal for the person that doesn't know him not to go, but it's abnormal for the person that does not to go. Because that's the gathering of his children, that's the gathering of his people. That's where I can take part of my life and share it with another. One guy, I was on a claim one time, and this guy's mother was a pastor. And somehow we got to talking, church came up, and he said, well, I don't go to church. So I thought you said your mother was a pastor. He said, I don't get anything out of it. And the Lord spoke up in me, and I spoke it without even saying it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I said, it's not about what you get out of it. It's about what you share of your life with others. It's a totally different way of thinking. That dawned on me. My going to church is about what I share and what I impart to others. And through that, I receive. If I'm not being fed, it's because I'm not feeding.
Right.
It's just that simple.
I've always thought that was a stupid expression.
What? Not being fed.
Oh, well, you hear it all the time. It's because you're not feeding.
It's like a baby crying because no one's giving him his bottle.
You know what the farmer says?
Not being fed.
A farmer that goes out and looks at that field out there, I'm not being fed. Well, when was the last crop you sowed? I'm believing for it. Well, go ahead, but you're not going to eat very well with that. You have to sow the seed first. The farmer sows the seed. Then if he's not being fed, something's off center. Somewhere.
Well, there's a real good song that we love. We don't hear it very much, but we used to talk about it all the time. What was the name of that song about priming the well? There's a bottle of water. This guy goes through the desert and he finds this well, but it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a jug of water there and with a note. And the note says, there's just enough to prime the pump, so don't drink any first.
Yeah.
So the thing was, pour the water in the well so that will prime the pump, and then the pump will work and you can get as much water as you want. And please, at the end of it, it says, and leave the bottle full for others.
Yeah.
Desert Pete.
What?
The name of the song is Desert Pete. Thank you kindly, Desert Pete.
Yes. Yeah.
Desert Pete. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah.
But that's very true.
By the Kingston Trio.
You're not going to get a harvest until you sow. And when you go to church and you apply your life to someone, you pray for the church, you pray for the pastor, you pray for the people there, you You listen to the word. You feed on the word. You let it grow. You do something with yourself or others. You're going to get a harvest. It's automatic. It will be, because that's the way this thing works with everything. If I don't show love, I'm not going to get love. Even though I'm supposed to be a creature of love. Love is other-centered. Always remember that. And if you're thinking about what you're getting out of it, you're not loving. Mm-hmm. You're not. But you'll get plenty out of it when you do. Mm-hmm. We, the born-again children of God, are in Christ. If you're born again, you are in Christ. We are not without hope and without God. God Himself is our peace. Now that's an absolute truth. He is our peace. We had, six messages on peace, something like that? And we need to listen to them again. I've studied them and studied that and studied that. I had, for years, when I got out of church, I'd done a series on peace.
And rest.
What it is and how to keep it. Because you can have peace and not keep it. You know, you can lose your peace easy. You have to fight for your peace. And anyways, sometimes that's the biggest fight you'll ever have. is maintaining your peace, but it's worth it. And God will help you with it because He is our peace. Why are we seeking at other places? He's our peace. There's a song about that too. Okay. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now, there's that word, those words again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. That's where it says it. Ephesians 2, 13, 14a is where it says, for He is our peace. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go there, but if you go to John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus Himself said that He gave us His peace. The Amplified says, gave and bequeathed to us His peace. His peace? Not the world, and it says, not as the world gives. It's not the world's peace, it's His. He gave it to us. And isn't peace one of the fruits of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. How did He give us His peace? By the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. His personal peace is in us. He walked through His whole life in peace. He hung on that cross in peace. Man. Then He gave it to us. What am I doing with it? See, I got to ask myself questions. If He gave it to me, then it's already mine. If it's already mine, then what am I doing with it? How come I'm mad all the time? I'm going to be sad. How come I get, whatever it may be, how come I'm not walking in peace? I should be. Well, sometimes it takes time to gain ground back. But it's there. But if you're counting on your carnal nature to bring you peace, you're not going to get it. Peace in this world's peace is temporal. Temporary. It's always based on what somebody else does.
Yeah.
And our peace is not based on what somebody else does. It's based on what somebody else did. Jesus.
Amen.
It's based on His peace. That's why we can walk through the storms of life. I had a series on that. Walking through the storms of life in peace. We can walk through those storms in rest with God. But I have to do the walking. He supplies the peace. That's good news to me. The loving kindness and tender mercy of God is calling out to a dark and hurting world. His heart cry to this dark world is Matthew 11, 28-30. Now this call from the heart of God started in the Garden of Eden, the very moment of the fall. This heart cry from God has always been there ever since the fall. And it continues, and it will continue till the very end. When I read this, this is the Amplified Classic. I love the way it puts it. He was in the sanctuary, the temple, when he said this. Some versions say that he rose up and yelled. And that's the way I see him doing this. Not just coming to me. You know, real wimpy like. That's not he's this is important to him. He's got emphasis on this. So he's crying out to us today, and he's crying out to all time and eternity. Come to me, all. Leaving nobody out. It doesn't matter what you did. No matter what you're going through, no matter how murderous you've been, the Auschwitz guard or whatever, or commander or whatever, killing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or whatever there was, millions of Jews. Doesn't matter. He says, come unto me. Doesn't matter how bad you are. And you can take that to somebody that's hurting and tell him, this is the heart of God.
Amen.
Come to me. If you don't come, he can't. Mm-hmm. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will. Now that's an absolute. Maybe I will if you do the right thing. That's not what it says. If you come to him and you're laboring and heavy laden and overburdened, he said here, Matthew 11:28, and I will cause you to rest. That don't mean go to sleep. It means he will bring rest to your spirit no matter what is going on. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Now, what's your soul? Your mind, emotions, and will. If you're troubled with mind, emotions, and will, depressed, have bipolar, whatever it may be, your trouble in your soul, he said, if you'll come to him, he will give you rest. But you have to believe it. If you doubt it, it won't work. You have to believe it and stay locked into it, and it will come to pass. But it has to be a priority for you. And I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take. There's another action on my part. The first action is to come. The second action is to take. Both of them is God's idea. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke is something that connects two together. They're inseparable because they're yoked. Take my life upon you. Take my lifestyle, my way of living. Take my way of living upon you. Become one with me. Do it my way. That's what he's saying. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, it's not just taking the yoke, but it's learning. I have to study. Listen, allow the Holy Spirit to teach me. That's my part. It's a relationship. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle. And he's telling you about himself. I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Notice he didn't mention your burden. No. He said his burden. Why? Because that a yoke is designed when two animals of different sizes, mm-hmm. it's designed that the main load is put on the big animal.
Okay.
I don't know how they do that, but they build them the way that they can pull even. Mm-hmm. The smaller animal can't pull as much as the bigger. So it's designed in a way that the load is on the digger. So he doesn't mention your burden. Why? Because he's taking your care. You're just going where he goes. And that's so awesome. He's taking my load. We're walking together. And whatever that load is, he's bearing it. Just like those footprints in the sand, you know. Why is there only one set? Because I was carrying you. And that's very real. John 6:37. Now remember, he said, come. And I said he wouldn't cast anyone out. If you come and take, he's going to give. John 6:37. All whom my Father gives in trust to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no never, reject one of them who comes to me. That is so important to me. But I said it don't matter what you've done. Don't matter how evil you are. You come, you take, he gives. It's just that simple. He will not reject you no matter what you've done. We keep ourselves out because we think we're not acceptable. That's why he died, because you were not acceptable. He qualified us so that we could come no matter what. That shows the loving kindness and tender mercy of God to me. I love that. That's amplified, and that's important. The other one said, simple, but I like this additional here. I will never, no, never reject one of them who comes to me. That's the attitude of God. Isaiah 55:7. And this is what we have to do. Let the wicked forsake his ways. So I'm supposed to forsake my... If I forsake something, what's that mean? I'm turning completely away. I'm not going back there. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Not only your ways. So you can think a way and not do it. You can think evil and never do evil. You can think good and think evil. I mean, you can be good and think evil. That's why it puts it here. It's using both of them. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, or repent. And he, God, will have mercy on him. That's an absolute again. He will have mercy if you come. And to our God, or you come to God also, for he will abundantly pardon. See, he's not going to keep you out. He wants you to come. That's the whole idea. And then verse 8 is a stumbler. People stumble on that all the time. This next statement, they don't read it right. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your thoughts my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you don't read that carefully, you'll read into that the fact that I can't understand his ways. See, they're higher than me. I can never understand that. How can I understand God's thoughts? Right here. Plus, by the Holy Spirit he put in you. He's the one that teaches you his thoughts. That's what he's there for. Okay, so he did not say that we could not understand and walk in the thoughts and ways of God. He just said that his thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways. That's all he said. Then he says, come unto me. What are you coming to him for? I'm going to teach you. He's going to lift you up. There's scripture after scripture, even pre-cross, about him teaching us. One of them is, it says, I will guide you with my eyes on your path. And I will teach you how to choose. We miss that one. We go through so many things in our life trying to figure a way out of whatever we're doing, and we don't ask Him to teach me how to choose. A lot of these things we don't have because we don't ask. He wants to teach me. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. But even if I ask, I don't believe it. I don't expect it. So I need to expect Him to do it. And He will teach me. It's in His Word. And if He'll do it pre-cross, He most certainly will do it post-cross after putting Himself in us. And there are scriptures. He has revealed His thoughts and ways to us by the Holy Spirit through His Word. That's how He's revealed His thoughts. I'm not going to read these. I'm just going to give them to you. This is one of the places you go where people say, well, I can't understand His thoughts or His ways. He's revealed them. It says it right here. Verse 10 there in Ephesians 3, 8 through 12 talks about it. Verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly spheres. And there's more to that, but we don't have time for it. And the next one is Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, and I'm jumping to 9. Having made. Now, what's having made? What tense is that? Past tense. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. So, there's other ones you can also, there's Colossians talks about, Ephesians, Philippians, other scriptures throughout the Bible talks about Him revealing His ways and wisdom and knowledge of God. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He decided this. It's His idea. Nobody begged Him for it. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. That's the whole sum of what He's doing. That's what He started in the Garden of Eden, and He's not changed anything. It's bringing them all into obedience. And I'm part of that. I'm part of the process. We are all parts of that process. We are so honored and blessed to be a part of what God's doing, especially in these end times. That's why it's so important for us to not only be the light of the world by Scripture and because we're born again, but to actually be the light, to do it, to function that way, to allow the fruits of the Spirit to function in and through us, to allow myself to be kind where I have opportunities not to be, where I can love others when they're not loving me. Love never expects anything in return. It always gets a lot in return, but it doesn't expect it, because that's not why they do it. In order for us to understand His thoughts and His ways, we must renew our minds, and that's Romans 12, 2, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then Joel 2, 13 says, so rend your heart and not your garments. They must have had one big concession on robes. You see it all the way through Scripture. They tore His garments, you know. And it was supposed to be a protest. Well, either they're sewing them back up or they're buying new ones. I don't know.
They were told not to do that.
Yeah, he said, well, so rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. That's not what He's going to do. That's not His purpose. Then this one here, Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Why? Because love is other-centered. And your reward will be great and will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So He's telling you to be kind and to the unthankful. Loving kindness opens the doors to people's hearts. I'll stop there.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, you're teaching us so much, and sometimes we hear it and it just breezes right by. But Lord, it's in our spirit, man is a seed. And we thank you, Lord, that in times ahead when we need these truths that you're giving us, that you by your spirit will draw them up and you remind us of the word and teach us what we need right in those now moments where we're struggling or where we're trying to help someone or reaching towards someone or just wanting to come before you and celebrate your loving kindness, that you will teach us and bring these scriptures up. We want to know your heart, Lord, and then knowing your heart, we know who we really are.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father. It is an honor to be able to study your word together as family, and we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.